Chapter 5. I couldn't have heard him right. There was no way he planned to do what he'd stated.
None will be the wiser until it's too late, he said. You will be beyond their reach, like all the others the Ascended have taken.
That doesn't even make sense, I said, stunned when I realized that he was serious.
It doesn't?
No, I exclaimed, for several reasons, starting with how you plan to get me there. Alistair smiled at me, and my unease grew.
Penelope, dear, you're no longer within the Pillars of Atlantia. You're in the crypt of the Forgotten Ones, deep within the Skotos Mountains. If anyone even learns that you are here, they will not find you. We will already be gone by then.
My insides chilled as disbelief rose. How did you get past the Guardians?
Those who were unaware of our presence felt the kiss of the Shadow Shade.
And those who weren't? I asked, already guessing what had happened to them. You killed Guardians?
We did what needed to be done.
Gods, I whispered, swallowing the anger and panic that swirled within me. They protected Atlantia. They
were not the true Guardians of Atlantia.
He cut me off.
If they were, they would have struck you down the moment you appeared.
My lip curled as I forced my breathing to remain even. Even if you hand me over to them, how will I not be Atlantia's problem if you give me back to the people who plan to use my blood to make more vampires? He lifted his weight from his hand and sat straight.
Is that what they plan?
What else would they plan to do? I demanded. All of a sudden, I remembered Duchess Tierman's words at Spessa's End. She had claimed that Queen Ileana would be thrilled to learn that I had married the prince, that I would be able to do what she'd never been able to do, destroy the kingdom from within. Before I could allow those words to mix with what Alistair had said about me being a threat, I shoved them aside. Duchess Tierman had told a lot of lies before she died, starting with what she'd said about Queen Ileana, a vampire incapable of bearing children, being my grandmother. She'd also claimed that Tawny had gone through the Ascension using Prince Malik's blood. I couldn't believe that either. Alistair eyed me silently for a moment.
Come now, Penelope. Do you really think the Ascended have no idea that they had the descendant of Nyctos in their grips for nearly 19 years? Longer?
Ian. My breath caught. He was talking about Ian. I was told Ian ascended.
I would have no knowledge of that.
But you think Queen Ileana and King Jalara knew that we are Nyctos's descendants? When he said nothing, I fought the urge to launch myself at him. What does that knowledge change, anyway?
They could use you to make more vampires, he agreed. Or they know what you're capable of. They know what was written about you, and they plan to use you against Atlantia.
My stomach howled. The idea of being handed over to the Ascended was terrifying enough, but to be used against Atlantia? Against Castile? Then let me ask you again, how is that not Atlantia's problem if they... I jerked back against the wall, my eyes widening. Wait a minute. You said very few people knew what Malek could do, that my gifts were like his. They could have guessed that Ian and I had God's blood in us, but how would they know our lineage? I leaned forward as far as I could. You're working with the Ascended, aren't you? His lips thinned.
Some Ascended were alive when Malek ruled.
By the time Jalara fought the Atlanteans at Pompeii, Malek no longer sat on the throne, I said. Not only that, but he was able to keep the vast majority of the Atlanteans in the dark about his abilities, about who he descended from. But some random Ascended knew? One who managed to survive the war? Because it sure as hell wasn't Jalara or Ileana. They came from the Vodina Isles, where I'm willing to bet they ascended. My lip curled in disgust. You claim you're a true protector of Atlantia, but you've plotted with its enemies. The people who held both of your princes captive? The people...
This has nothing to do with my daughter,
he said, and I pressed my lips together.
Everything I have done for the crown and for the kingdom.
The crown. A horrible coldness spread in my chest as my mind reeled from one discovery after another. I opened my mouth and then closed it before asking the question I wasn't sure I wanted to know the answer to.
What?
Alistair asked.
There's no need to play the quiet one now. We both know that's not who you are.
My shoulders tightened as I lifted my gaze to his. Did Castile's parents know you were going to do this? They'd fought back in the temple, but that could have been an act. Did they know? Alistair studied me.
Does it matter?
It did. Yes.
They do not know about this,
he said.
They may have speculated that our brotherhood had risen once more, but they had no hand in this. They won't like what I've been a part of, but I believe they will come to see the necessity of it.
He inhaled deeply through his nose, tilting his head back.
And if they don't, then they too will be treated as a threat.
My eyes widened once more. You're staging a coup. His gaze shot back to mine.
No, I am saving Atlantia.
You're saving Atlantia by working with the Ascended, putting the people of the kingdom in even more danger and overthrowing or doing something worse to the crown if they disagree with your actions. That is a coup. That is also treasonous.
Only if you've sworn allegiance to the heads the crown sits upon,
he countered.
And I don't think it will come to that. Ileana and Valen both know that protecting Atlantia may mean engaging in some most unsavory deeds.
And you think Castile will go along with this? I demanded. That after you hand me over to the Ascended, he'll just give up and move on? That he'll marry your great niece after your daughter... I cut myself off before exposing what Shay had really done. Withholding that wasn't for his sake. Gods, no. The desire to see his face when he learned the truth of what his daughter had done savagely burned through me. But I stopped myself out of respect for Castile, for what he'd had to do. Alistair stared at me, his jaw tight.
You would have been good for Castile, but you never would have been my daughter.
Damn straight, I said, my nails digging into my palms. It took me several moments to trust myself before I spoke again. Castile chose me. He's not going to turn around and marry your great niece or any other family member you can drag out before him. All you're doing is causing him to risk his life and the future of Atlantia, because he will come for me. Pale eyes met mine.
I don't think it will come to that.
You're delusional if you believe that.
It's not that I believe he'll give up on you,
he said.
I just don't think he'll get the chance to stage a rescue attempt.
My entire body locked up. If you hurt him...
You will do nothing, Penelope. You're not in a position to do anything,
he pointed out, and I swallowed a scream of rage and frustration.
But I have no plans to harm the prince, and I pray to the gods that it doesn't come to that.
Then what? It occurred to me then. You think the Ascended will kill me? Alistair said nothing.
You are delusional.
I tipped my head back against the wall. The Ascended need me. They need Atlantean blood.
Tell me, Penelope, what will you do when you're back in their hands? The moment you are free of the bones, you'll attack them, won't you? You'll kill as many of them as you can to get free and return to our prince.
He was right. I would kill any and all who stood between Castile and me, because we deserved to be together. We deserved a future, a chance to explore each other's secrets, to love one another. We deserved to simply live. I would do anything to ensure that. Alistair continued watching me.
And what do you think is the only thing the Ascended value above power? Survival. They will not have these bones to hold you. And if they believe they can't control you, think that you're too much of a risk, they will end you. But before that happens, I imagine you will take many down with you.
Sickened, I forced my hands to relax. Kill two birds with one stone. He nodded. Even if you're successful, your plan will still fail. You think Castile won't know that you and every other so-called protector handed me over to them? That the Wolven won't know?
There is still a risk of an uprising, he admitted. But it is a small one. You see, we will lead them to believe that you escaped your captivity and fell into the Ascended's hands. They will never know that we gave you to them. They will turn their anger on the Ascended, where it should have always been. Every Ascended will be killed, and any who support them will fall beside them. Atlantia will take back what belongs to us. We will become a great kingdom again.
Something about how he spoke told me that I would sense pride and arrogance in him if I could use my gift. I also had a feeling I'd feel the thirst for more. I didn't for one second believe that his only motivation was to save Atlantia. Not when his plan put the kingdom at further risk. Not when his plan could possibly benefit him if he survived this. I have a question, I asked, as my stomach grumbled. He arched a brow. What happens to you if Malik or Castile becomes king? Will you still be an advisor?
It would be whoever the king or queen chooses. Usually it's a bonded Wolven or a trusted ally.
In other words, it wouldn't be you. When Alistair fell silent, I knew I was onto something. So whatever influence you have on the crown over Atlantia could be lessened or lost. He remained silent. And since Jasper was the one who spoke for the Wolven, what effect would Alistair have? And what kind of power did he want to yield?
What are you getting at, Penelope?
Growing up among the royals and other ascended, I learned from a very young age that every friendship and acquaintance, every party or dinner a person was invited to or hosted, and every marriage ordained by the king and queen, were all power moves. Each choice and decision was based on how one could either retain power or influence, or gain it. I don't think that is a trait just to the ascended. I saw it among the wealthy mortals. I saw it among the royal guards. I doubt the Wolven or Atlanteans are different.
Some are not,
Alistair confirmed. You believe I'm a threat because of the blood I carry and because of what I can do. But you haven't even given me a chance to prove that I'm not just the sum of what my ancestors did. You can choose to judge me based on what I've done to defend myself and those I love, but I do not regret my actions, I told him. You may not be able to feel the primal notum, but if you planned for Castile to marry your great niece to bring the Wolven and the Atlanteans together, then I can't see why you wouldn't support this union. Give it a chance to strengthen the crown in Atlantia. But that's not all you want, is it? His nostrils flared as he continued staring at me. Castile's father wants retribution, just as you do, right? For what they did to your daughter, But Castile doesn't want war. You know that. He's trying to save lives even as he gains land, just like he did with Spessa's End. That was what Castile had planned. We would negotiate for land and the release of Prince Malik. I would find my brother and deal with what he may or may not have turned into. King Jalara and Queen Ileana wouldn't remain on the throne, not even if they agreed to everything Castile set before them. They couldn't. He would kill them for what they'd subjected his brother and him to. Strangely, the idea of that no longer made me squirm with conflict. It was still hard to reconcile the queen who'd cared for me after my parents died with the one who had tortured Castile and countless others, but I'd seen enough to know that her treatment of me wasn't enough to erase the horrors she had inflicted on others. But now, if Alistair had his way, that plan could never become a reality.
What he did with Spessa's End was impressive, but it's not enough,
Alistair stated, his voice flat.
Even if we were able to reclaim more land, it wouldn't be enough. King Valen and I want to see Solas pay, not only for our personal losses, but for what the Ascended have done to many of our kind.
That's understandable. Realizing what Ian could have become was hard enough, but Tawny too? My friend who was so kind and full of life and love? If they'd turned her into an Ascended such as Duchess Tierman claimed, it would be hard for me not to want to see Solas burn. So, you're not a supporter of Castile's plan. You want blood, but more importantly, you want the influence to get what you want. And you see that power slipping through your fingers, even though I haven't made a single claim to the crown.
It doesn't matter if you want the crown or not. So long as you live, it's yours. It's your birthright, and the Wolven will ensure that it becomes yours,
he said, speaking of his people as if he were no longer one of them. And maybe he didn't feel like he was. I didn't know, and I didn't care.
Just like it was Castile's. It doesn't matter if you detest the responsibility as much as the prince does.
Castile doesn't detest responsibility. I'm sure he has done more for the people of Atlantia in his lifetime than you've done since you broke your oath to Malek. I shot back, infuriated.
He just refuses to believe his brother is a lost cause, and therefore refuses to assume the responsibility of the throne, what would have been in the best interest of Atlantia.
A muscle ticked in his jaw.
So, it is up to me to do what's best for the kingdom.
You, I laughed. You want what is best for yourself. Your motivations aren't altruistic. You're no different than anyone else who's hungry for power and vengeance. And you know what?
What?
He barked as his facade of calm began to crack. This plan of yours will fail.
You think so?
I nodded. And you won't survive this. If not by my hand, then by Castile's. He's going to kill you, and he won't tear your heart from your chest. That will be too quick and painless. He'll make your death hurt.
I've done nothing that I'm not willing to accept the consequences for,
he replied, lifting his chin.
If death is my fate, so be it. Atlantia will still be safe from you.
His words would have unsettled me if I hadn't seen the way his mouth tightened or how he swallowed. I smiled then, just like I had when I'd stared down Duke Tierman. Alistair rose suddenly.
My plan might fail. That is possible. I would be foolish not to take that into consideration. And I have.
He stared down at me.
But if it fails, you will not be free again, Penelope. I would rather see a war among my people than have the crown sit upon your head and you unleashed upon Atlantia.
At some point, food was brought to me, carried in by either a man or woman wearing the bronze mask of a dissenter. They placed the tray just within my reach, and then quickly backed out without saying a word, leaving me to wonder if Alistair and these protectors had played a role in the attack on the right. Castile hadn't ordered the attack carried out in the name of the Dark One, but it had been organized and well-planned regardless. Someone had set a fire to draw many of the Rise guards away, something Jansen could have ensured happened. I clenched my jaw as I stared at the hunk of cheese and the lump of bread wrapped in a loose cloth next to a glass of water. When Castile learned that not only had Alistair betrayed him, but that Jansen had as well, his rage would be unyielding. And his pain? It would be just as ruthless. But what I felt when I thought about Alistair's involvement the night my parents died? The rage scorched my skin. He'd been there. He'd come to help my family and betrayed them instead. And what he'd said about my parents knowing the truth about the Ascended? Obviously, they had learned the truth and escaped. That didn't mean they knew for years as they stood by and did nothing. And my mother? A handmaiden? If that was true, why didn't she fight back that night? Or had I just not remembered that she had? There was so much I couldn't remember about that night. Things I couldn't decipher as real or only nightmares. I couldn't believe I'd forgotten them. Had I blocked them out because I was scared of them? What else had I forgotten? Regardless, I had no idea if the Queen's handmaidens were guards or not, and I didn't believe that any darkness besides Alistair was involved with that night. His twisted sense of honor and righteousness prevented him from owning up to what he'd done. Somehow he'd led those Kraven to us and then left everyone in that inn to die, all because I carried the blood of the gods within me, all because I was King Malek's descendant. A part of me still couldn't believe any of it. The old part of me that hadn't been able to understand what about me, beyond a gift I hadn't been allowed to use, or being born in a call, had made me special enough to be the chosen, blessed, the maiden. And that part reminded me of when I was a child and used to hide behind Queen Ileana's throne instead of going to my room at night, because the darkness had scared me. It was the same part that had enabled me to spend afternoons with my brother, pretending that my parents were out walking together in the garden, instead of being gone forever. It felt incredibly young and naive. But I wasn't that little girl anymore. I wasn't the young maiden. The blood in me explained the gifts I'd been born with, and why I'd become the maiden, how my gift had grown, and why my skin glowed. It also explained the disbelief and agony I'd felt from Queen Ileana. She'd known exactly who I descended from, and it must have made her sick to think that her son had married the descendant of a man who'd repeatedly betrayed her and nearly destroyed their kingdom in the process. How could she ever welcome me, knowing the truth? Could Castile ever look upon me the same? My chest twisted painfully as I stared at the food. Would I even get the chance to see Castile again? Seconds turned into minutes as I tried to keep my thoughts from straying toward what Alistair planned. I couldn't let myself dwell too long on it, to think about the worst-case scenario playing out in my mind. If I did, the panic I'd been fighting off would seize control of me. I wouldn't let Alistair's plan succeed. I couldn't. I needed to either escape or fight back the second I could, which meant I needed my strength. I had to eat. Reaching out carefully, I broke off a piece of the cheese and gingerly tasted it. There was little flavor to it. The section of bread I tried next was most definitely stale, but I quickly ate both and then drank the water, trying not to think about the gritty taste or how dirty it likely was. Once I finished, I turned my attention to the spear. I wouldn't be able to hide it, even if I were able to free it from the poor soul beside me. but if I could break off the blade, I might have a better chance. Drawing in a breath that felt oddly heavy, I inched my hand toward the spear and stopped suddenly. It wasn't the bindings. They hadn't tightened. I swallowed, and my heart skipped a beat. A strange sweetness coated the back of my throat, and my lips tingled. I pressed the tips of my fingers to them and didn't think I felt the pressure. I tried to swallow again, but it felt weird, as if the mechanics of my throat had slowed. The food. The gritty taste of the water. Oh, gods. That sweet taste. The sleeping draughts the healers made in Macedonia had a sugary sweet aftertaste. There was a reason I'd refused the draughts, no matter how little sleep I got. They were powerful and rendered you completely unconscious for hours and hours, leaving you entirely helpless. They drugged me. This was how Alistair planned to move me, how he planned to deliver me to the Ascended. He'd be able to remove the bindings safely when I was unconscious. And when I came to, there was a good chance I'd be in the Ascended's hands once again. And Alistair's plan would likely come to fruition, because I would never allow the Ascended to use me for anything. Anger at them and myself exploded within me, and then quickly gave way to panic as I staggered to the wall. I barely felt the pain of the bindings tightening. Desperate, I reached for the spear. If I could get that blade, I wouldn't be weaponless, even with the damn bone and root bindings. I tried to seize it, but my arm wouldn't lift. It didn't feel as if it were a part of me any longer. My legs became heavy, numb. No, no, I whispered, fighting the insidious warmth seeping into my muscles, my skin. But it was no use. Numbness swept through my body, deadening my eyelids. There was no pain when the nothingness came for me this time. I simply fell asleep, knowing I would wake to a nightmare.